This convention is all about Jesus Christ, isn't it? And the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And we sense that from yesterday, and what an amazing day yesterday was, and then tonight, honoring, knowing that He, God, is with us. And I want to thank the folks that have traveled so far. Maybe, I was thinking, maybe a man said to his wife, he said, let's go to the convention in Baltimore. And she said, let's put a deck on the back of our house. And he said, well, that'll cost $1,500, so we can't do both. Let's go to Baltimore. And she said, what? Let's build a deck. Okay, so, and they are here tonight. I made up the story, okay? I don't know who they're... I made up the story. They are here tonight, and we want to give them a hand right now, whoever they are. Okay. They made it. You know, God sent them. Praise the Lord. Yeah. All right, so we had great prayer from Pastor Chiavelli and great time in the worship tonight. And we just believe the Lord is going to give us a word tonight, all right? All right, so Father, we do pray for that. And we have prayed already, but we thank you for the pastors that have come, the deck that has not been built, the missionaries that have arrived, the teenagers, the young people in the nursery, the staff, every person, every car in the parking lot, everyone on the internet listening and listening to God at the same time as they listen to us. What an honor. Bless this work this week and this message. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. It is such an honor to be prayed for by so many people in different parts of the world, personally, and then also for our church here in Baltimore. Thank you for your prayers and your love, your faith, your mission, your wisdom, all the gifts that God has given to the body to build us up into the one new man. I'd like to share with you a few things. One of them, primarily, I want to say tonight that unfortunately, the world is knocking on the door of the church. The world is everywhere around us. And I believe it is the strategy of Satan, who wants to displace God with ourselves. It's the strategy of Satan to bring psychology, the study of psychology, the methodology of psychology, the ideas of psychology. It seems that out there on the streets, everybody easily, they talk, not everybody, but many, many times in the world, instead of the church, they talk about self-esteem, success, balance, health. They talk about good emotions and happiness and being connected. They also talk about unconditional love. I wonder where they got that from. And I believe no matter what culture you live in, whether it is in India, and we have a lot of Indian pastors here tonight, praise the Lord. Let's just have them stand for a moment. Would you stand up? You're Indian pastor, yeah. Wow. Yeah. That is an honor to us. Thank you, Lord. And if you're an African pastor, African, if you're from Africa, right. European, if you're from Europe, if you're a pastor from Europe. Wow. Wow. Man. If you're from Europe, period, would you stand up? I want to honor those folks. Yeah, there are a lot of them, yeah. Thank you. And then Latin America, if you're from Latin America. China, you're from China. Or you live in China. Oh, there she is. You live in China. Okay. Let's see, where are we? How about any island anywhere in the world? You live on an island, including Great Britain, okay? Okay, so, yeah. There we go. Okay, no, I'm joking. Okay. All right, so. Yeah, did I cover it all good enough? Central Asia, Middle East, Arab world, Central Asia, there we go. Turn now to 2 Samuel, please. Chapter 15. Verse 11. Would you read it out loud with me? And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called. They went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gileonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. The conspiracy was strong, and there was an increase with 200 men at the core. It was Absalom, and many of you know the story. Absalom was the handsome son of David. His dad was a king. Actually, Absalom's mother was from a king. So it seems that Absalom grew up in a royal way, even in his lineage, another king, not David, and his mother with David, and Absalom had privilege. He had long hair, a lot of hair. The Bible talks about it in detail. And we understand him as a man of pride. 200 men went with him in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. I like to think about that verse because many times I feel in life people go with the crowd, and they don't know what crowd they're going with. They move with Absalom, and they don't know. And even as the numbers are increasing with Absalom, Absalom essentially is motivated by pride. But David is the Lord's anointed. David is the real king in Israel. But Absalom wants to take it over. He even wishes his dad would die. Imagine your son out to kill you. Not only that his dad would die, but that he would kill his dad. I think it's a parallel to the fall that happened in heaven with Satan and the angels. We could say the angels knew not anything. It's not true, I'm sure they knew a lot. But there was something missing in the angel that heard the message from Lucifer. And they went with Lucifer. We could say they were naive or uninformed or open-minded. The phrase open-minded to the Hebrew was not a good phrase. The Jew believed the mind should be like a defined worldview of godly definition. It's called, there's a word for it. It's called wisdom. Wisdom is from God. We heard it from Pete Wistera the other night, Pastor Peter. When we receive wisdom, and I was thinking of Dr. Stevens tonight, and I know many of you knew him, some of you didn't know him, but you have your own stories, and I think many of us have in our hearts a tender place for him. I remember once time I was in the Bible college in Maine, and I was all upset about something. I was emotional and troubled, and I went to the chapel to pray, and as I was praying, I said, "Lord, I want to see Pastor Stevens. I don't know. I just want to see him. Just I make that happen." I went out of the chapel after a while of prayer, and Pastor Stevens by himself was walking down the aisle toward me. And he walked right toward me, took me by the shoulders, and he said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yes." That was all I needed. Many of us love him because we sensed in him pastoral care. We sensed in him a passion for God. We saw in him what you might say is just a human being, not pretending to be perfect, but enjoying God and his grace and his word. This is beautiful. Because in this world, there are those that go with Absalom in their simplicity. And in our context tonight, we can use that for the world and what is knocking on the door of the church is not the anointed of God, but is the arrogance of Absalom. And there are people that are moving with Absalom. There were 200 in the beginning, and it began to grow and grow and grow. But in the church, there's another growth, and it's through humility. You know it. You have sensed it in your heart. And you know what it is when the Holy Spirit ministers to you. When you are a small group of people, I'm thinking of how many little Bible studies we have around the world with 5 or 7 people. You know, they're on the back side of the railroad tracks, down over 2 streets, over another way, 3 corners, up the stairs of a narrow door, and up the stairway in that little apartment gathers about 7 people. And they gather, and they are seeking. It says, God gives grace to the humble, But he resists the proud. But the proud are increasing in number. The proud are going in their way. There's happiness there. There's an understanding of some kind. There's power and influence. There's somebody on the top. There's an organization. That happened in heaven. Amazing. That happened in heaven in eternity past. Amazing story. Wow. But in heaven also, there is the throne and the Lamb of God. And we know in the Bible, the Lamb of God is sitting on the throne, but I know that we know, Revelation 13, he was the Lamb slain from before. So in a sense, he was always, essentially, in the essential sense, he was always very humble. He was always weak. He was always, in a sense, foolish. In a sense, God can be foolish and weak. He can afford to be because he is so mighty and awesome. He can serve us and love us and forgive us, wash our feet, go the extra mile, pay any price, because he is the God of humility and service. This is the nature of the church. The church here, we can say, is like David. David is called. David is humble. David knows God. In this story, Absalom doesn't know David. Imagine a father and a son, and they still don't know each other. Many years pass, but there still is a disconnect. Can you see it? Of course you can. We know how easy it is to be connected with a child 5 years of age. Isn't it fun? When they're three, there's no surprises. I mean, there's a baseball through the window. There's spaghetti on the table when they're 5 and 7 and 9. But when they become an adult, it's different. People are hard to know. For sure. Why do we come here to Baltimore once a year? Because we feel and sense that we know each other. It's hard to explain, but we feel and sense there's a connection because God is one but three, because God has a body but it is one. Because the Holy Spirit is in the world to make us one like Jesus is with the Father. And thereby the world will know that the Father sent him. Because oneness is now our new nature. And we go now, they go in their simplicity, their naivete, their blindness, their arrogance, and I'm not judgmental because we have all been there, we know what it is, and we can be there again. That this is what happened here. But we are also going, and the Bible says in Ephesians 4:16, we are increasing. There's an increase. There are seven of them. Increase in knowledge, an increase in wisdom, an increase in joy, an increase in faith, an increase in labor. There are seven. Check it out in your concordance. Okay. A man had two sons. We read that in Luke 15. Which one knew the father? Neither. One said, I'm out of here. I'm going away. I'm finished. I'm done. The elders stayed home, but he did not know the father. Judas Iscariot lived with Jesus Christ for 3 years, and Judas Iscariot did not know Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's shocking. And Lucifer was in heaven, and he did not know God. Did he know God? Somehow, yes, somehow, but he did not know God. And these men, Absalom, did not know David. 200 men that went with him somehow were misled. And just a few points on that. There are people that are misled in Christianity. They're misled a number of ways. There's a short list I want to give you. Number one, Christians believe that basically human nature is good. Christians believe my work as a believer is to be a good man, is to be a good person, and I can do it. I am able to do it. I have a resource in myself. I am dedicated, committed, and sincere enough. It is amazing how there's a blindness even in the church. And the church can mislead people by their false doctrine and heresy. Yesterday we taught that heresy is the departure in Romans 1 and verse 18. They suppress truth and live on the basis of lies. Number two, they think that life is to discover ourselves. Have you grown beyond that idea? Do you understand that you really don't care about discovering yourself? Have you found that out? That's not the point in my life or the point in purpose of our lives, to know ourselves? Thirdly, that the resource for my life is me and counseling. Now, I'm not against counseling, for all of us, we need it, and we get it in the pulpit. We get it from our Bible. We get it from the Holy Spirit. We get it in our prayer. God is your counselor. That's one of his names. But one of the errors that we find in the world in knocking on the door is that you should discover yourself, know yourself. But we are excited about Jesus Christ. We get lost in him. We kind of don't care anymore about ourselves in that way. We have found joy, life, faith, purpose, direction, definition, and specific words. I was thinking that when we drew the picture yesterday about Lucifer, we put some wings on him like this, and they're really like made of coat hangers and aluminum foil. And did he know God? And we don't know, sure, we do not know, but we know that Jesus Christ knows the Father. And we know that because Christ knew the Father, he could do all things. He could be so humble, so broken. He could be hurting, forsaken, but he knew the Father. That was where he lived. He knew him. And he said it in John 16. He said, I go and I will be alone, but I will not be alone because my Father will be with me, in verse 31. Did Lucifer have any idea of this? It's amazing. No. Did Absalom have any idea of who his dad, David, really was. Did Judas Iscariot really, did he have any idea of who Christ was? And did the two sons of the father in Luke 15, did they have any idea who their dad really was? And unfortunately, in the vacuum, people move in their simplicity. And they may even read the Bible, but becomes very painful for them when they read the Bible. It's so hard for them. It's so painful. It's so condemning to them. It is so religious. It is so offensive. It is so confusing. There are so many believers that move in the simplicity of their mind and with a group, and their group is even growing, but it is of the wrong. It is not of the Spirit of God. It is not revealing Christ. How could churches teach the things they teach today? How come entertainment has displaced divine visitation? I could not believe I was in one of those churches, and in emotion, we could say it was a godly church, but based on emotion and miracles and looking for the supernatural and wanting edification by way of observation of miracle working. And I was there for some months, but I realized after a while I will not be able to make it here for more than 2 years, I think. I will be exhausted. I will come in through the door someday and sit down, and I will need somebody that is very real to look at me in the face and really touch me and care for me and talk to me and minister to me. That's what I found, praise God, in this church and many churches in the world that are like it, that are learning the power of God in ministry, the value of healthy ministry, the value of an impartation. Here's the question. If they did not know God, what was lacking? If they did not know him, and even Jonah, do you remember Jonah? He made two mistakes. He said, I'm not going to preach in Nineveh. I'm not going there. I'm not preaching in Nineveh. I don't want them to get converted. I don't want them to repent. I don't want them to get saved. And the second mistake or lie was he left the presence of God. He left the presence of God. But here's news for you. You cannot. You cannot leave the presence of God. I will never leave you, never forsake you. I will seek for you, I will find you. You are my child. Of all the fathers given me, I have lost none. John 6:37. But what is it that Jonah needed to know? He needed to know God in a deeper way. He knew God was powerful and forgiving, but he didn't know another side. He didn't know God and the fullness of his tender heart. The wonder-working ministry of forgiveness. He needed to know God in another way, just like us in our lives. What is it that we need to know? Let's look at it this way. You and I and God, and there are many of us, and we are hungry for this connection. And what is it that connects us? Two things. And this is amazing. I believe there are many words in the world, many voices. There are many, many amazing things that happen. There are many things that can entertain you. There's music that can touch you. There's art. Remember when King Saul was troubled? David came and played music for him. Remember that story? I believe there's a vacation. I believe there's a person. I believe there could be a counselor. I believe there could be an event or an experience of some kind. But I also believe that regardless of all those things, I eventually will come up empty. Because there's no one that you are made for except the very personal relationship with God Himself. Even Jonah, he needed that. He needed it. He died. We don't know how the story ended. It looks like he was an angry man, Jonah chapter 4. A frustrated man, a depressed man. He was more depressed about a plant dying that was his shade than he was about the lost people in Nineveh that repented. The people in Nineveh repented, and the plant that God had planted and the worm that God prepared to eat the plant and destroy the plant, he's saying, my plan is dead. More trouble. He was a troubled man. He was a troubled man. But I believe that despite, regardless of all the noise and all of the words, there is a word that is specially tailored, a particular word. And this is in the scripture in Psalm 19, verses 6 through to the end. It's an amazing portion. The law of the Lord. It's perfect. The word means, perfect means comprehensive. The word is perfect. The law of the Lord is so perfect that it is all entailing, absolutely comprehensive in its nature. And it converts the soul. Nefesh is the Hebrew word here. Nefesh. And it's difficult to translate. I mean, it's 21 times in our Bible translated with 21 different words. The word is soul. It is also means person. It means your inner person. Your inner person is refreshed, changed by the comprehensive nature of the word. We all know what that means because it's happened to us. The word came. Was a word tailor-made, a word from God to you as a person. I heard an interesting story from Ravi Zacharias, who I think is an amazing preacher, minister, teacher. He said a friend of his woke up in the morning, and the man is an old friend, and the man said, he called Ravi Zacharias, he said, I have to meet you. I have to talk to you. And Ravi was busy traveling and everything, and he didn't have any time. He said, I have to see you. So they made a quick breakfast, and the man told him this story. He said, I wake up in the morning, and I lay in bed, and I ask God to speak to me. I ask God to speak to me. And he said, God told me God is going to use you in a mighty way. He's told me two things. God's going to use you in a mighty way. God's going to pour out on you and use you in a mighty way. And then the second thing he told me was L3, L4, and L5. And I don't know what that means. Ravi Zacharias started to cry because he has a back problem. And the back problem is with the L vertebrae numbers 3, 4, and 5. And the man said, God told me that he's taking care of this. L3, L4, and L5. And I don't know what it means. Ravi Zacharias cried. The man cried. He went on his way. At the airport, he bent over, usually with excruciating pain. This time, no pain. Wow. You see what I'm saying by that? I really believe that God talks, God speaks. Where was Lucifer when God was speaking? Where was Absalom when David was speaking? Where was Judas when Jesus Christ was speaking? Where were the two sons when their father was speaking? They didn't know him. And this is our joy tonight. We're going to hear speakers through the week. I think we're going to have tears. I think our hearts are going to be moved. I think we're going to say, the deck on the back of the house is going to wait. I'm so happy I came. God's going to give us a deck, honey. God's going to give us a deck in his timing. But God brought us here, and I esteem his word more than my necessary food. Job 23, verse 12. I mean, isn't this amazing? There are veterans here in the faith, Fred, that have served God for decades, and we don't regard people by time spans. It doesn't mean anything. Remember the fourth speaker in the book of Job said, I thought years would teach wisdom, but I have found out that it is not so. Not necessarily. I can be an old, foolish king. Ecclesiastes says that. On the other hand, if they are going in this word, if they are living by this word, if they are honoring God based on what God is saying, if they are hearing from God from this book, if these words are somehow the ministry that we have, that we say that we are building our life upon what Jesus Christ is saying, and if in our heart we sense somehow, and we don't know how it is exhaustively or qualitatively, but in our heart we sense the spirit of freedom, of love, of a future, of encouragement, then we are in a great place. And the last thing, look at the world's teaching. The world is saying human problems are purely psychological in nature. And we say, who made the soul? Nefesh. Who has the comprehensive word that heals and restores the soul? God. I believe it. I believe that God is our counselor, our healer. He is our future. Let me finish with this. There's a thing now in the United States, and the doctors, you know, doctors and the high officials say obesity is a disease. I got a problem with that. I got a problem when every depression is labeled bipolar. We didn't know those words before. Is there bipolar? Yes, I'm sure there is. But do you believe that people go with Absalom in the simplicity and they know not what they are doing? And they're in the vacuum. There's a lot of danger there. In the vacuum, you steal their humanity. You take away their dignity. You take away their responsibility. You take away the calling of God for their life. Absolutely. Because I am one of those idiots that came in here, that came to Christ by faith. I am one of those that Jesus gave me a word in season. And you are one of them. And as a pastor, you are ministering this book that is quick and powerful and sharp and penetrating and life-changing and establishes people in a personal walk with God. Lastly, there are some that say Scripture, prayer, and the Holy Spirit are inadequate and simplistic resources for solving certain types of problems. I would agree in a sense, in the same way a broken bone and a broken heart, I understand there could be a need for some help and medication. I do not question that. But it's gone too far. Our culture is being devoured in the simplicity of the mind and the emptiness and the vacuity of our day and age with a lot of noise and a lot of information and a lot of entertainment, but not any holiness. When you find holiness, it becomes addictive. There is joy in it. When you find holiness, you find purpose. You find God. And God puts his hand on your life and he says, I am with you. I need you. I need you in the ring. I need you to fight the fight. I need you on the mission field. I need you. I am calling you. I need your hand. I need your mind. I need your discipline. Knock it off. Come on, get with me. Get into this book. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to show you. I'm going to teach you. And there are things that you get, little packaged thoughts that come from God that stay with you your whole life. Many times I fall back on those little pieces and said, God said, and I've embraced it and lived on the basis of it, and it has saved me from innumerable problems as it has for you. We have a personal God that talks to us, speaks to us in the morning, guides us along the way, keeps us through the night. We have a personal God that cares for us. Isn't that amazing? They knock on the door. You can knock all you want to. We are increasing with David, increasing with Christ, increasing in the kingdom, and soon we will meet him. We'll not be ashamed. We'll say, we understood. We're so simple and dumb, Lord. And Jesus says, it is incredible how dumb you are. It is incredible. I can't believe it, but I'm the good shepherd. I tell you, it is amazing how dumb we are and how foolish we can be. But our God cares for us, and he knows us. And he pours out that grace, and this is the Holy Spirit grace, the Holy Spirit of God. This is the grace of God. This is the mind of God. This is the care of God for the church. And then here's another closing thing. It's like a closing. Okay, you know, we do a great job beating up ourselves. Absolutely. But when you get beating up yourself, you're sitting somewhere, kind of down, just kind of get real simple before God and be before him and say, Lord, what do you have to say to me? And I am sure, and it happens over and over, he said, do not fear. Do not condemn yourself. Hear what I have to say. You're a lot further than you think you are. You're not a lot greater than you think you are. You're a lot stronger than you realize. With your faith, you can move a mountain. You have no idea what your prayers do. You're a great honor and a glory to me. I gave my son for you. Enjoy it. Get strong in grace. Lap it up. Receive a lot of it. Live in it. Build up yourself in it and walk in it. I am the God of all grace. 1 Peter 5:10. And then give it to yourself and spread it around. The grace of God. Amen. Would you pray with me? Perhaps somebody here tonight is not a believer in Christ. This is an invitation for you to believe in him. Come as you are on the internet. Come as you are. Put all your trust in him. He cares for you, and he will speak to you. He will lead you. He'll speak to you by the Bible. The Bible, the sweeter than honey, more to be desired than gold. Yes, it keeps us back from presumptuous sins. It keeps us from ourselves and the challenge of our self-life against God, the Word. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.